What a blessing and privilege it is to be here tonight and for God just to give us breath and life, amen? And that we are given the privilege to publicly worship in the middle of a downtown square and be able to come before the Lord. You know, His mercy and His grace are so good, and so often we take it for granted what He has given us. And 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, do not take my grace in vain. Do something with it. I give it to you for you to do something with it. And we saw that with Abraham as we began to study his life. In Genesis 12, he says, I will bless you so that you will bless others. And God blesses us so that we will bless others. And so we are moving through his story, and we'll be with Abraham again next week, and then we will move on from there to just see God's stories in history through biblical thinking, and we will really say, how does that relate to me? Every one of these stories, we're going to see a lot of screw-ups, and we're going to see a lot of God's grace in it. Amen? I don't know about y'all's Tuesdays, but whenever I get here on Tuesday nights, I just praise God. When we were praying earlier tonight, that we don't have to think about anything else but God. Amen? Amen. And is it not so refreshing? This afternoon, I had to take one of my daughters to the doctor for a procedure, and she had to have multiple shots, and it hurt way more than either one of us expected, and her face turned red and flushed and tears in her eyes, and she kept looking up to the ceiling, just like daring herself to not cry. And when she finished, she said, that was way more painful than I ever expected it to be. And I think I had studied like way too hard on Genesis 16 for tonight, because I said, well, if you wouldn't have sinned this morning, you wouldn't have had the consequence. Because just earlier this morning, she and I had a riff. She did not fulfill some responsibilities, and so we had a heated discussion before school. Amen? Those shots would not have hurt as bad. The consequence of sin. I think I'd maybe taken it out of context a little bit, right? But I was thinking about that. I was like, Melissa, wow, you have really stretched that scripture a little bit too much. So we're going to be looking tonight at Genesis 16, and I hope that you guys, I hope that grace devotionals, the pieces that we're doing throughout the week, I hope it's been a blessing to you and that you have been looking at that and that you're studying with us as we move forward. We have some tonight for you to take with you, and we just give it in little bite sizes so that you can spend some time with the Lord and really kind of think about what we've talked about tonight and what God desires for you to do with it. Whenever we read the Word of God, we're not to read it and walk away. We're to read it and do something with it. Amen. And respond to it. And so we really want to learn to be doers of the word. And so we're going to be in Genesis 16 tonight, and we're going to look at what life looks like when God says not now. And for many of us, when God says not now, we immediately take control and we take off with what we want it to look like. And so we're going to see the consequence of that, and we're also going to see the grace of God in that. And it's going to be a sweet time tonight. So Genesis 16, in verse 1, if you'll look there with me, it says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and he had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. Guys, there's a bunch right there, two verses. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. The first tip that you know when you're in trouble is whenever you listen to man versus God. Amen? That just right off the bat should let you know I'm going to start going down a path that is not the path that I should be going down. That's your first tip off. I think whenever we look at this, now we know that in Genesis 12 that that God promises Abram many descendants, that he will be the father of nations. And then if you were to have looked back at Genesis 15, we see again God promises to Abram that it will be from him that a son will be born, because at that time Abram was questioning if it was going to be one of his servants, Eliezer, and he said, no, it will be from you. But I think one of the hardest things for us whenever God asks us to wait on him, it's the hardest thing that we're going to do in life. And for many of us, I know for me, I almost fell every time, because there's just this fine line between faith and self-effort. And it is a tension that's going to be there the rest of our lives. Am I taking control of this myself, or am I acting it out in faith? Am I sitting and waiting because I have not heard from God, or am I moving because I have? Amen. But hear this. This is what I want you guys to hear. God never goes against his word. God never goes against his word. He promised Abram very specifically, and he never goes against that promise. Scripture says that God is all truth. Scripture says that God is faithful. Scripture says that God never goes against what he promises. He is a promise keeper. Amen? His call is irrevocable. That means that it's permanent. When he called Abraham, it was permanent. Now, yeah, for all of us, whenever we're called, if we're not obedient, if we're rebellious, the call might take longer for us to fulfill it, but is never taken away. It's irrevocable, is what Romans says. And so we have to know those things, and we have to believe those things, and we have to go on those things and not our feelings. We talk about that, I think, every week. We can't go off of emotion. We have to go off of truth. And so what we see here in Scripture is that Sarah has this female Egyptian servant. And if you remember last week, we talked a little bit about that. Hagar comes from Egypt. Hagar comes from Abram not following and waiting on God. And whenever the famine came, remember, he goes down into Egypt. And remember, he lies. And remember, God protected. And then he went back with all these maidservants and male servants and all this livestock. God still provided. God still protected. But as we said, you always have a consequence to sin. Bottom line, you're never going to not have it. And so we are seeing the consequence already happening here with Hagar, the Egyptian male maidservant that comes. And so Sarah second guesses God. And look at this. She says, God prevented me. Y'all, God's delays are not God's denials. And so often we think that we're being punished by God. The wrath of God on us is on the cross that Jesus hung on. Whenever we start believing that God has done something to us badly, whenever we think that we're being punished, that's whenever we start stepping out of line. Yes, he disciplines, but he doesn't prevent to do something bad to you. Scripture says that everything is a gift from God that you receive. It's a blessing, and it's for his glory. So she just begins to second guess what is happening, and she isn't grasping that God often delays for several reasons: to draw us closer to him, to strengthen our faith, to pull us out and make us into alignment with him. Oftentimes God has to delay on me because my thinking is not his thinking. And as I have to wait, my heart changes to get into alignment with God. And Sarah is still learning this process. And so what does she do? She does exactly what Abram did in Genesis 12. She goes to the world for help. That's exactly what Abram did. And so she goes to the world, and she falls into the thinking of the world. And she takes this maidservant, and she says, she will be your birthday. It's like, happy birthday. Here's another wife. Enjoy the present. God is a God of monogamy, not polygamy. And God does not bless us. And this is what's amazing to me. If you study Scripture, he never says that Hagar is Abram's wife. Throughout Scripture, if you continue from Genesis 16 on, every time that Hagar is spoken of, it is Sarah's maidservant. It is not Abram's wife. God did not bless that union. And so Sarah goes to the world for help. She says, I'm going to make this happen because God's not looking out for me, so I'm going to look out for myself. How many people have done that in this room? God's not doing it, so I'm going to take control. Faith is based on the word, not on the wisdom of man. We spoke about this last week in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. We all know verses 5 through 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. But it's verse 7 that we need to get a hold of and understand. And it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And then scriptures here says that Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. He listened to the voice of man whenever he had just had an encounter with God in chapter 15. And God said, it's not going to be your servant. It's going to be you. It's not going to be anyone else. I have promised this and it's going to come through you and Sarah. And Abram, it says in scripture at 15:6, it says, Abram believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. God spoke and Abram believed. And then he went off and he listened to the voice of man. He listened to the voice of his wife. Even later in Genesis 21:12, once again, if you look at that, you're going to see this tension between Hagar and Sarah. And at that time, Sarah says, I want you to get this woman out of my house. And when she said that, God then confirmed it. He spoke to Abraham and he said, listen to Sarah. But you don't see God say that here. And I think that that is a great point for you and I to understand. Because there's going to be many times in our lives that God has spoken to us personally. And there's oftentimes that he'll use our spouse or a friend or a family member to confirm what he has spoken. But whenever they come alongside and they contradict what he has spoken, you better stand on the word of God and not on that resource of that advice. Because unless he confirms it, he's not going to change what he has spoken. Amen? It really comes into this whole thing of abiding in Christ so that you know the voice of God, so that you can have this comparison of, you know, so many times we say, who do I listen to? I mean, this is a godly person. So do I follow that path? No, you need to know the voice of God, and then you're going to know the confirmations that he brings in. And so we see here that Abram listens to Sarah. And oftentimes, if you listen to someone else and you don't take it to a matter of prayer, then you have just jump-started selfish motives and you're starting to go down the wrong path. Amen? So you take it and you say, you know what? I'm getting these different advices. You take it to a matter of prayer. It would have been great if Abram said, you know what? Let's just hold off a second. Let's think about this. Let's pray about it. Because what did we say back in Genesis 1? That man and woman were created to be spiritual partners, that they are there to say, hey, we got to point back to God. Hey, we got to come back together. They give advice from a spiritual standpoint. They are spiritually to be accountable to each other. You know, Abram, if you look at that in Genesis 15 and then you look at Genesis 16, Abram did believe. But there's this portion in all of us that have an unbelief in us. And as we continue to walk with the Lord and as we continue to journey with him, that belief system is going to get stronger. Amen? We're going to get more percentages of believing. But that's whenever we need to cry out and say, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's a portion of me that's really questioning this. Help me with that. And that's what God desires for us. He desires for us to cry out to him and ask for that. Not to take the reins and to take control and just move on our own. I want a kid. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to spend thousands of dollars because I want a kid. Instead of trusting on God and God's promises, it's a hard one to hear. Because the world makes it so easy for us to just do it on our own, right? If it feels good, just do it. You're in control. you got it going. You've been successful, so you can use the money the way that you choose. Faith is being willing to wait on the Lord. Isaiah 28:16 says, whoever believes will not be in haste. They will not rush. They will not move quickly. They will wait on the Lord. When we stop trusting God and we start to make this haste that it speaks of in Isaiah, that's whenever we end up being ashamed. That's whenever we end up realizing that we've made a fool of ourselves and those around us. Romans 10:11 says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Are you willing to wait on the Lord? So this was my question. Why would God wait to give Sarah the promised child? If he had promised it, at this point it's been 10 years, why would he wait? Why would he wait to fulfill his promise? And why do you think that he waits on situations in your life? Why did he? So that you can depend on God and not yourself. Amen? There's times where we're not being fully obedient, that we're still being rebellious, that we're still living in our selfishness. And God says, okay, we're going to wait a little while. Because I need for you to be totally focused on me. I need for you to be fully dependent on me. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, it says, seek me with your whole heart and a willing mind, and I will be found. I love that. Melissa, are you willing to seek me and do it my ways? Or are you still thinking that you're so independent and in control that you're just going to be hard-headed and do it your way? Because if that's what you're going to do, Melissa, I'm going to wait. And he waits on us, right? It's also just in his perfect timing. It's in God's timing, not my timing. And so I have to once again trust and wait and not make haste, not move quickly. You know, so often I think it would have been so great to live hundreds of years ago when we didn't have the internet and cell phones and instant gratification, when you had to walk to get to places because it's quiet, isn't it? And it gives you time to think. We're moving so quickly that we have no time to think about what we're doing. And all of a sudden we get us in this chaotic pit of destruction and we don't know how we got there because we moved so quickly. We moved in haste. And he's saying, you wait on me. I think also he's still working on Sarah spiritually. Amen? He has to work on me spiritually. He has to build up my faith. He has to strengthen me to a point that I can even handle what's about to happen. I might be praying for it, but I can't handle it yet. And so he's saying, I've got to build you up spiritually. You got to know me through the word. You got to be spending time with me through prayer. You've got to question some things with me and wrestle with some things so that you're fully prepared whenever I give you this answer. And then just like we were saying, our hearts need to be in alignment with God. And so often, how many times can you say, God made me wait, but if he wouldn't have made me wait, I would have never been in agreement with him. If he would have done it 6 months ago whenever I really wanted it, I would have screwed it all up because my heart wasn't in alignment with God's heart. And I would have just used it in vain. But he got me to where I was so dependent and so eager and so willing of mind. And then he answered. None who wait for the Lord will be put to shame. Psalm 25:3. And so God says, not now, to Abram and Sarah. And so they take matters into their own hands. I want you to look at verse 3 and 16. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarah said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. I think Sarah forgot whose plan this was. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarah, behold, your servant is in your power. Your power. Are you hearing this? Do to her as you please. And then Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. So Abram has lived in Canaan for 10 years whenever he makes this decision, even though God continually repeated his promise. And I think you and I do the same thing. We get impatient with God's timing, and so we begin to work in this haste. We begin to work in the flesh, and we make all these things worse. And the worst thing that we can do is think that even though our plan comes through, that God's going to bless the plan. That's the worst thing that you can think. When you take control, as Sarah has taken control, she says, I want a baby, I'm going to make a baby. And then whenever that baby is conceived and born, the worst thing that you can think is, well, obviously God's going to bless this. He allowed it, right? And if he allowed it, it must be in his plan. And we start this psycho thing of justifying the sin that we have placed ourselves in to say, well, he would have never allowed it. I mean, he could have stopped it. But what we forget is God has given us the gift of choice. And he does allow us to live out our choices and to live out the consequences of those choices. And so that's what we see here, is that God allows this process. No, he doesn't bless it. He allows it. But even in that, he gives this immaculate amount of grace and protection and provision, because he is God. And his very nature is mercy and grace and love. But it's not because it was within his plan. He didn't ordain it for them. He allowed them to make the choice. And so often I have taken the reins and taken control. And then whenever it happens, I say, oh God, I must have been right because you blessed it. He's like, oh Melissa, the consequences that are about to come, that you won't even understand and get, that it was because you took control. I really believe that we live in some consequences that we don't even realize. It was from years back of our sinning, and we're living it out, but we're so foolish and we're so self-centered that we don't even get it. But in the midst of it all, he covers you in his mercy and his grace and his love and his forgiveness. Man, I wish I could grasp what he has done for me. I deserve death, but he gives me life every day. So Hagar conceives and she looks at Sarah with contempt. That means that she despises her. She dishonors her. And we see this also in 1 Samuel 1:6 with Hannah and Peniah. Do you remember that? Whenever Hannah could not have children and the second wife has children. And she despises her and she dishonors her and she just comes at her to really irritate her and provoke her. And so Sarah says, the wrong that is done to me. She's talking about this harsh treatment and this injurious language of irritation that is coming at her. She's saying, may that be on you. And it's amazing to me to look at this, because then, I mean, this is what sin does. You start blaming, you start pointing fingers, and you start saying, who done it? And it's all about you. And Sarah seems to totally forget that she's the one who said, I'm giving you Hagar. And then Abraham just totally lets go of all leadership and all responsibility, and he says, no, it's in your power. You do whatever you want. He totally just becomes numb. Says, I can't deal with it. That's what we do, isn't it? And so it says that she dealt harshly with Hagar. This mistreatment that we read in these verses is that she lowered Hagar. She looked down on her. She verbally abused her. She humbled her and afflicted her. And so Hagar, whose name means flee, she fled. King James says she fled from her face. She got totally away. She ran away from all the harshness and the mistreatment, and just totally every day, every hour, seeing the consequence that was before her, and she ran. Sin often births more sin, And we see this rippling effect. And if you think about it, you're going to see it in your families, in your family, in the lives around you, in your children. Sin births sin because we start trying to get out of it. Instead of repenting, we just keep on building it up. And it just becomes this snowball effect. Instead of repenting, we see here that Sarah blamed her husband and she mistreated Hagar. Instead of repenting, Abram handed off the spiritual responsibility and allowed the mistreatment. He allowed it, even though he knew it was wrong. And for Hagar, she ran. How often have we ran from our consequences to get out of it? What you and I need to understand is through every bit of that, God sees. Through every bit of that, God hears. So often we think that we can hide it. So often we think we can justify it. So often we think we can play the blame game. God sees it all, and he hears it all. Don't be foolish to think that you can hide from God, because you can't. And you may be in this vicious cycle of waiting on God to answer, but instead you can't take control. And then after you do this huge mess, you either blame, you either remove yourself from all responsibility and just become numb and motionless, or you run as fast as you can and you build a new life. You start over. Change your identity. Say, I'm going to start fresh. Job 28:24 says, "For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens." Psalm 69:5 says, "Oh God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you." And Isaiah 40:28, "Why do you say my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God?" Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Don't feel comfortable in your sin. Don't think that nobody sees your sin. Don't feel secure, is what Scripture says, in your wickedness, in your sin. Matt Chandler said several months ago that whenever we get comfortable in our sin, is whenever we have forgotten the presence of God. That's when you get comfortable. Don't go there. Don't think no one else can see it. Don't think you can hide it under the rug, because God sees everything. And that's what we're going to see here in Scripture. God always sees. Look at verse 7. "The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, servant of Sarah,'" see, he does not, he always speaks of her as a servant, "'where have you come from and where are you going?' And she said, 'I am fleeing from my mistress Sarah.'" I love this. She didn't have to explain to God, okay, well, here's the history of what just happened. Okay, there was these two people. She didn't have to do that. She just has to answer. You know, so often whenever we tell our girlfriends, we have to say, okay, like, to make the story short, right? To make a long story short. But we have to give them all this history to get them to our place so that they'll take our side. Amen? She just answers because God sees all and God knows all. She says, "I'm fleeing for that woman, that mad woman." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." And then the angel of the Lord also said, I love this, "I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude." So guys, Hagar is heading home. She's heading back to Egypt. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." And then it speaks of this angel of the Lord, and many say that this is the pre-incarnate Christ. There's argument on two sides as to who this angel is. Is it just a messenger, or is it pre-incarnate Jesus? But it doesn't matter. It is the voice of God. Amen? And she knows that it is the voice of God. If you go on this week and read more in Genesis, you're going to see that another man comes that is the Lord, and he sits and he eats with Abram. So we see this happen throughout the Old Testament, and Jesus, or God, speaks through this angel of the Lord. It says, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" And she says, "I am fleeing." I love this. I'm not sure where I'm going, but I'm getting out of here. And I'm going as fast as I can because I'm not going back to that place. And so often we are running so fast that we don't even know where we're headed. We just know we want to get out. And I love this because she's in the wilderness and she's by herself. No one else is around. And she stops at this spring, and God speaks, and she answers. You know the voice of God. So many people say, "Melissa, how do I know the voice of God?" You will know the voice of God. And so God so often wants us just to slow down. He wants to get you really still. He wants to say, "What are you doing? What's your plan? Where are you going?" And I love, she didn't just deny him. She didn't stay silent. She answered. She told him. She was honest with him. As I was studying this, I just thought so much about, and y'all have heard me say this so many times, of just having Sabbath rest. Of just getting away and listening to God's voice. It is so greatly needed. She's in the wilderness. She's in darkness. But if we would just take Sabbath rest and be silent and listen to the voice of God, I promise you guys, He would work out a whole lot of stuff in your life if you would just slow down. I mark my calendar to make sure I take Sabbath rest. It is part of the appointments of saying, "I'm sorry, I'm booked that day." That's how important it is to me. And it never fails that as I just sit with nothing else, don't take a radio, don't take a book, don't take a friend to walk with you, take nothing, the Lord all of a sudden will start speaking. "What are you doing, Melissa?" And you can just answer, and He'll make your way straight. And I love this. She's in a crisis mode. We don't have to be in a crisis mode. Spend time with the Lord before you get to the crisis mode, amen? Before you start fleeing, before you start running. If you will make space to hear from God, you're going to hear. But you've got to make the space for him, and you've got to listen for him. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, "Draw near to listen to God is better off than offering a sacrifice." Drawing near just to listen. Keep your mouth closed. Just to listen. Be not rash. That whole haste. Don't do things in haste. Don't rush it. Don't move quickly. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Let's put ourselves in our place. We are quite small. But the Creator of all the universe wants to speak to you if you'll make room for Him. Oftentimes we do like Hagar. We make room for God when we don't know what else to do. When we've run ourselves into a corner, when we've taken ourselves into the wilderness, and no one is around to give advice or tell us what to do or tell us how dumb we were in doing what we did. But God says, "Make space for me every day. Therefore, let your words be few," is what Ecclesiastes 5:12 says. How can you go back and submit? He says to her, "Return and submit." How do you have someone go back to a hostile environment? How does God send you back in? Whenever you said, "Man, I'm not doing this job anymore. I am done. I'm tired of them abusing me. I'm tired of them harassing me." And God says, "No, return and submit." And whenever you say, "God, I just want to do a full career change. I don't want to do this anymore." And God says, "Return and submit." And for friends of mine that have said, I don't want to be a mom anymore. I am leaving. I don't even want custody of those children. And God says, return and submit. How do you do it? You can only do it through abiding in Jesus Christ. Without Him, you are nothing and you have nothing. When God tells you to go back, when He desires to birth something in you, something new, when He desires for you to be fully dependent on Him and to surrender everything, the only way you can do it is to abide in Him. What are you fleeing that God wants you to submit to? As hard as it is, as I thought about this, as hard as it would be to be in God's will, it would be even harder to be out of His will and doing it on my own. Because if you're out of God's will, if you say no, girl, you're on your own. You're on your own. But if you submit and you do what God's called you to do, He places this shield of protection around you. He gives you this supernatural strength to handle it. He gives you this peace beyond all understanding to stay. But you talk about being messed up in the mind, you say no to God and you try to do it on your own. Because He gives you everything you need if you'll be obedient to Him. And so He tells her to go back. And I love what He does here. Because look at this. He tells her to go back and then He encourages her. Look at verses 10 through 12. We're going to close with this. He tells her, you know, return, submit, go back to what you just fled from. And then He encourages her and says, you're going to have a son. And his name's going to be Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. He's going to be a testimony to everything that has happened right here in this place. And Ishmael became the father of the Arab people, and God did bless. He said, I will bless, and He did. The Arabs are very wealthy. They sit on a land of oil. And today we see this strife that happens between Israel and the Palestinians, and it's all of this consequence. God did bless Ishmael. But the consequence was still there of the strife and the tension. And it's been there throughout all of history, and we're living it out today because of Sarah taking control. You know, last week we talked about what it would look like if we were obedient to God and God blessed us beyond measure to people that we don't even know. Okay, look at this. What if you take control of your own life and you live out the consequence of your sin? And literally the consequence goes forever because you stepped out of God's will. And look at verse 13. It says, so she called the name of the Lord who she spoke to, you are a God of seeing. For she said, truly, here I have seen Him who looks after me. Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi, which means the well of the loving one who has seen me. Guys, God sees and God hears. What a testimony. Just think about this for me. You guys, we will never fully understand what this looks like because we live in America and we live where women can stand up for their own selves, right? And can make a way for them or their own selves. This is a woman who is, number one, a maidservant. Number one, went with a family, and now she's going back to a land. I just wondered if they would even take her back. She's a servant. Where would she go at that point? Plus, she's pregnant. The culture didn't take care of people the way that the culture takes care of today. We are very, very privileged. I just thought, what an amazing testimony that she goes back. She goes back to camp. These are nomads. They have tents. She goes back out of faith because she believed God was who He said He was and that He would do what He said He would do. She goes back to Abram, the chosen one, who God has promised that through him is the descendant of Jesus Christ. she goes back to him and she testifies, Abram, I'm going to have a son, and his name is Ishmael, and he will be a testimony from this day forward that God hears. Amazing to think about. He strengthened her to the place that she could handle. And if you look more at scripture, she's there for 12 more years until Isaac is born, and then the strife starts all over again. She held on until God sent her away fully and completely. She was strengthened because she believed in a God who sees and a God who hears. I don't know what's going on in your life tonight. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know your history. I don't know if you are in the midst of sin and you're thinking that you can hide it all from God and that you just got a good thing going on. But what I want us to leave with tonight is the truths of what we've seen. God sees, God hears, God is a promise keeper, and even in the midst of consequence, God blesses, God protects, and God provides. I just think so much. I know I thought a lot about me. I'm one of these three people. You are one of these three people. You're either Abram, that God has promised something to, and you are not stepping up to the plate. Or you're Sarah, and you've taken full control of your life because you don't like what God's doing. Or you're Hagar, and you've come face to face with the one true God and come to the realization that he sees everything and that he knows everything, and you are going to surrender fully to his will and his way. Which one are you tonight? Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, you are good, and you are gracious, and your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We thank you every week for loving us so greatly that you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, that he has taken all of our wrath. What was dealt to me is hanging on the cross of Jesus Christ once and for all. Dear Father, we praise you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we confess that, yes, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, you give us this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' Spirit in us, to guide and to direct us. And dear Father, I just confess tonight that there are many times that I don't listen for your voice. And I know the result of that is temptation and sin and consequence. And dear Father, I ask for forgiveness tonight. I pray that if there's anything in any of us tonight that we have made haste, that we have rushed forward, and that we have taken control of a situation because we don't want to wait, and we don't like your answer of not now, I pray that we will repent of that tonight and that we will surrender to your ways. And dear Father, even though it's so comforting to know that you see and you hear when I'm in pain and whenever I'm in the pit and whenever I'm crying out for help, at the same time, dear Father, it pierces my heart so deeply to know that whenever I sit in my sin thinking I can hide it from you, that you still see and you still hear. And it makes me sick to think about. I pray that you bring to light our sin, and I pray that we will repent and confess, dear Father. We praise you that you are a God of love and mercy and grace, that you protect and you provide even in the midst of our filth, in the midst of our consequence, dear Father. And I pray that every one of us will become women who adore you so greatly
that we will deny everything of the world and that we will follow you. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.